Chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter 7 is where we're at. Good crowd this morning. We're thankful for you. Summertime usually crowds goes down a bit, but it seems like it's held up pretty good. Jeremiah chapter 7, I'm going to do a subject today. I like to work a text better than anything else. It's just easier to follow. But I'm going to try to do more of a subject this morning. And Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 8 says, "Behold, ye trust in lying words. Ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." And that's what we're going to use kind of our jumping off point. And what we're going to be focusing on today is excuses. And a lot of times, years ago, my old pastor used to say, an excuse isn't nothing but a believable lie. That's what he used to say all the time. And many times that's what, not in every case, but in many times that's what an excuse is, just a believable lie. Well, what I'm going to do today is give you excuses that, gosh, I've been pastoring for a lot of years, 36 years, 37 years. I don't know exactly how many. I've witnessed to a lot of people over that amount of time. And I've heard a lot of excuses from people. And what I'm going to do is give you today a list of excuses that people use why they don't get saved. Now, we realize the bottom line of that is the working of the Holy Spirit. I understand all of that. But I hear a lot of excuses that people use why that they don't get saved. So I'm going to give you a bunch of them. I don't know if I get them all in or not. Perhaps the excuse I use today is your excuse. You might have come in here today and unsaved, plan on one of these days getting saved, but not. But until that time, you're using an excuse why you don't. And what we want to do is try to cover what some of those excuses that I've heard. I'm going to give you some excuses that I've heard over the years. Are you ready for the first one? Here's the first one. Number one, I got a lot of living to do. Have you ever had anybody saying that to you before? I've witnessed to them before, and they said, "Well, Jeff, what do they want to do? They want to stay in their sinful lifestyle. That's what they want to do. They want to stay in that old sinful lifestyle. And then what they're planning on, one of these days, straighten their life up and then start serving the Lord." I know a lot of people that are that way. They're lost, but they believe in God. They don't believe in God as far as salvation is concerned. They believe that there is a God, and they believe in heaven, and they believe in hell. They believe in both of those things. But yet, every day of their life, they're gambling one of these days that they're going to do what? They're going to believe. And it really isn't nothing. I got a lot of what again? I got a lot of living to do yet. So here's what I was told. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and sow a few. This was usually from young people. I'm going to sow a few wild oats right now, and then later on, I'm going to be sitting over in your church. That's what they say. I hear that a whole lot. Well, beloved, the fact remains. That's why I call this message excuses, and many times excuses, just like my pastor said, are believable lies. You don't know you got a lot of living to do. You don't know that. I mean, even though you may be young, you might be 14, 15, 16, or whatever, even younger, even though you may be young, that doesn't mean you got a lot of living to do. Young people die too. See, Spurgeon sent his sons out over in England. He was a great pastor in times past, but he sent his sons out to look at a cemetery. Can you imagine your dad send you out to do that? He said, "I'm going to send you out to a cemetery, and I want you to look at it, and I want you to tell me what you learned." Well, all of his sons came back, and they said, "Here's what I learned. There's old people there that's buried. There's young people there. There's babies there. And there's all different ages in a cemetery." So why did I tell you that for? Because you're not you don't know that you've got a lot of living to do. And many people, I think, and I tell you this all the time, the greatest gamblers isn't in Las Vegas. The greatest gamblers are those who believe in heaven, they believe in hell, they believe that Jesus is a Savior. They ain't even trusted Him personally, but they believe that Jesus is a Savior. And I talked to one man one time, I said, "Now wait a minute, before I go any farther with this thing, if you knew you had 5 minutes to live, what's the first thing you would want to do in that 5 minutes?" You know what he told me? "I'd want to get saved." That's what he said. "I want to get saved." I said, "But you don't know you have 5 minutes." So people gamble every day of their life with their eternal So Ecclesiastes 9:12 says that no man knows his time. That's the reason why there has to be a sense of, I'm trying to light a fire under you. Since you don't know, and you believe in it, and you believe it's going to happen one of these days, that's why you always got to be what? You got to be ready for it. You got to be ready for it. Because you never know when it's going to happen. What would you call a person? Let me use this as an example. What would you call a person? It had a terminal illness. It's terminal. They could die at any time. They could die at any moment in time. And old Jeff walks in and I got the cure for what this in this cup is something that'll make you better. You drink one drink of it. That disease you have that's killing you you'll instantly be healed from it. And I'll come in here and I lay that down on your coffee table and I say, now look here. You drank of this. Thousands of people have took this cure. Thousands of people have done it. It's made them better. Made them better. You take it and you'll be better. And I walk out and leave. And I come back a week later and I say, did you take the medicine? Remember, they could die at any time. Did you take the medicine? Well, no. I'm going to what? I'm going to wait. What would you call it? I'd call them foolish, wouldn't you? The foolish thing to gamble with your life. But I'm going to tell you something else. It's far more foolish to gamble with your soul. I want everybody here to know this morning that you're going to spend an eternity somewhere. You're going to spend an eternity somewhere. And what's important is where you expend it. So you don't know you got a lot of living to do. And by the way, That's foregoing the fact that the Christian life's a whole lot better life than when you're a sinner, man. I wouldn't want to go back to living the life that I did before, would you? I mean, there's a whole lot better. It's so much better being saved. Does everybody else agree with that? All you old partiers back there and carrying owners, all kinds of them in this church. I wouldn't want to go back being that same way again, would you? The Christian life is a much better life. I started serving the Lord when I was a teenager. You said, boy, you missed out a whole lot of sin. A whole lot of sin. Boy, the Lord saved me from a horrible lifestyle. The Christian life is living. You ain't really living until you're saved and born again and have everlasting life. Let me tell you what the Christian life does. It gives you peace. I have peace, brother. Hey, listen to me. I got peace. I know it's well with my soul. I know if I die this evening, I'm ready to go up. Have a celebration meeting for me whenever I go on. I went off to be with the Lord. I got what? I got peace of knowing, beloved, that it's well with my soul. Do you got it? You don't know when you're going to die, but that's why you got to have the peace that I have. I know it's well. I'm going to go up here in just a little bit. I don't know when it's going to be, but I know I'm going. I got peace. You know what? I got the peace of knowing it's well with my soul, but I also got peace of mind. You know, I believe that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to the purpose. So even things that I look at in my life that are bad, I know also when I get all the information, I know that even that bad will work together for the good. What a life that is to live, isn't it? Winners either what? Winners either way. Winners either way. So it brings you peace. I got contentment. Psalms 23 verse 1, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? It's satisfied. Some of you here today ain't satisfied. You're always reaching for that golden ring, I guess. Always looking for something else. But I'm going to tell you something. Salvation satisfies. It's well with your soul. You got to know that it's well with your soul. Jesus comes, you're ready to go up. If you die, you're ready to go up. You got peace. I'm content. Don't want nothing. I want people to get saved and want people to grow as Christians and things of that nature, but I don't. I'm just perfectly content. I'm happy. You? I'm happy. I got what I need. I got far more than I deserve. But the greatest thing I got is I got eternity. I tell you what, that's what contentment is. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I've come that you might have life, but that you might have life more abundantly. a more abundant life. It's a greater life. It's a better life. And guess what? I got greater life coming ahead. I've told you this about aging. I don't take aging well, but I guess I'm going to have to learn to, because they ain't going to stop it from aging anyhow, is it? We don't like aging. I mean, people don't like to age, but aging's different when you're born again. Aging's different. Doesn't mean you ain't aging. But what it does mean is every day of your life and each tick of that clock just brings you closer to paradise. That's the way it is. Think about it. People used to ask me that all the time on the dock, didn't they, Stewie? How you doing, preacher? I'd say, I'm another day closer to paradise. That's how I am. That's how I view it. But what about if you don't have paradise? What about if you're unsaved? What about if you don't have everlasting life? Each day is bringing you closer to losing everything that you have, including, worst of all, your own soul. All God's people said, well, I got a lot of living to do is an excuse. Number two, it's too late. It's too late. I had a man tell me one time, my life is what I've made it. It's too late. My life is what I've made it, you know. And died that way. That just killed me. I spoke to him and talked to him about the Lord, presented the gospel, presented the way of salvation, talked about eternity, talked about Jesus, talked about all these things. He says, I can't. My life is what I've made it. What it was, he figured it's went this long, it wouldn't be right for him to be saved at the end. He thought that was a noble statement. Hey, beloved, the thief on the cross got saved in the end, didn't he? One did, one did not. But I tell you what, your life is what I've made it. Oh, my, what a horrible life to live. Tough service to do when you do someone's service that way. All I could say is they knew the way, because I told them. But whether they trusted the way, I don't know. Something could have happened between that moment and the time they went out. I don't know. It's too late. Hey, the Bible says, whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. If you're living, and you trust Jesus, you can be saved. All God's people say it. Number three, there's so many hypocrites. That's another excuse. I hear that all the time. There's so many hypocrites. And guess what? You're right. There is a lot of hypocrites. You can't deny that there's a lot of hypocrites. There is a lot of hypocrites. But sinner friend, let me tell you something this morning. You're not accountable for that hypocrite. You're accountable for you. You don't answer for the hypocrite down the road or that hypocrite preacher that's stealing from everybody. You don't answer for none of them heathens. You answer for you. All God's people said. Don't be blaming that around. Don't blame that on other people. You're accountable for you. Jesus had 12 apostles, didn't he? One of them was a hypocrite. Jesus said, and you can look this up, John chapter 13, he said, I've chosen you 12, and one of you's a demon. That's in John 6:70. I've chosen you 12, and one of you's a demon. He's speaking of who? Y'all remember who the hypocrite was amongst the 12? It's Judas. You say, well, he was saved, never was saved. He was a hypocrite. He never was saved. I'm going to tell you that right now. Here's some of the things Jesus said about him. In John 13, he said, ye are clean, but not all. That's what he said of Judas. John 13:11, ye are clean, but not all. If he's not clean, what does that mean? It means he's not saved. It's clear as... It says that it also says that y'all realize that the Bible says that he was a thief. In John chapter 12, verse 6, it says he was a thief and kept the bag. You know who the treasurer was for the 12? It was Judas. You know why he did it? He stole money out of them. He was a hypocrite the whole time. Hey, did Jesus know he was a hypocrite? Of course he did. You know Jesus even washed his feet when he washed the other disciples' feet? Never treated him no different. Oh, if that had been me and I knew what he was, I'd have made him walk a mile behind me. I wouldn't have spoke to him or fed him. When I washed his feet, I'd use boiling water. Jesus never treated him no different than any of the other apostles. They never knew what he was. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was at the table, when he said, what you do it quickly. They just thought he was going out to get some more food for the Passover. They never dreamed that he was a hypocrite. Let me tell you something. There's hypocrites today. They always will be hypocrites. But beloved, you're not accountable for the hypocrite. You're accountable for you. So quit using that as an excuse. Because when you stand before the Lord and you say, well, because all the hypocrites down there, that's not going to hold water. You're accountable for what you've heard. You're accountable for yourself. So many hypocrites. Number four. Are you liking this? I hope you get this. These are excuses you hear all the time from people. Number four, I'm going to postpone my decision right now, Pastor. Look up here. That's no. You just told me no. It just sounds better to say you're postponing your decision. Because if you die while you're under that postponing thing, you're still just as lost as anybody else is. All God's people say, I'm going to postpone my decision. I've had them tell me that before. Now, Pastor, I'm thinking about it now, but I'm going to postpone my decision. You just said no. No. No, you didn't. So there ain't no postponing. Hey, beloved, how many people are they? I would shudder to think how many people they are today in hell that postponed their decision. That postponed or planned on one of these days doing something about it. Plan on it. They're planning on it. But yet at the same time, they push this whole thing off down in the future. I've done it before. I've dealt with it before. Especially people that I've went and talked to, and they'll say, I know, and I plan on one of these days doing it. And they'll say, Jeff, did he trust Jesus? I just say, no, not that I know of. I told them. Hear me. I told them. But whether or not they trusted it, I don't know. They never said anything. All God's people said. That's a hard thing to deal with, beloved. I want you to know. That's a hard, hard thing to deal with. You know what the greatest thing you can leave behind for your family? Hear me. You really want to know the greatest thing you can leave behind for your family? Is the knowledge that you as a man or a woman or a boy or girl have trusted Jesus as your Savior. Because the day you die, that's what preaches your service. The day you die, that's what preaches your service right there. And I can't preach a service when I don't know. You can tell when I do a generic service, don't you? Can you tell when I do a generic service? I didn't know. I knew they knew, but I never know whether they trusted. So I just preach to the people that are there. You can't provide the comfort. Man, I like to be able to say, hey, this person trusted Jesus. They're with the Lord right now. And we're going to see them again. That's what carries a family on the day that you die. Number five. I'm afraid you heard this one with me, didn't you, Stewie? I'm afraid I can't stick to it. Remember that one? I'm afraid I can't what? I'm afraid I can't stick to it. Afraid I can't. Because people see all the time, people make professions, then they drift away from it. And they call that not sticking to it. Everybody's seen people that way. We don't want to be that way. Well, I was witnessing to a man, and he was 88, Man still used to load his truck. And his wife had called, wanted us to come over and visit him. We did, and he's 88 years old. And the thing, we just kept out, I presented the gospel. Then I make issue a call. I said, would you like to trust Jesus right now? I said, would you like to do it right now? And Stewie mentioned some things to him. And we just talked to him about the Lord. And here's his statement. I'm afraid I can't stick to it. I'm just afraid I can't. So talk to him some more. And finally, would you like to trust Jesus as your Savior? It was the last time I was going to ask. And he said, yes, I would. And he trusted. He called and asked Jesus to save him. I said, Kenny, I said, if you trust Jesus, he'll stick you to it. He'll stick you to it. Book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 says that we are kept by the power of God. You're kept by His power. You know, that's the bad thing about this right here. They think salvation is something they're doing themselves. Salvation is what Jesus did for you. And when you trust Jesus as your Savior, He keeps you by His power. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Oh, God's people said, He'll stick you to it. He'll stick you to it. And if you don't mind me saying this, I don't know how I can say it's nice, but if you're truly born again and you get out there in a situation where you don't belong, He'll tan your hide too. He whips every one of His children. And if you ain't got a whipping, well, there's something wrong there, because you'll get one a time or two. That's part of God's keeping you. He chastens every one of His children. Well, that's five. Are you ready for some more? I can't give up this sin. I can't give up this sin. I hear that a lot. I can't give up this sin. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6. I'm moving fast because I had a lot I wanted to say this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It gives you a list of sins on a list here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. A whole list of things, of people. Now notice this list. You talk about the church of Corinth the town of Corinth was a horrible place. It was a horrible place to live. Filled with sin. All types of sin. As a matter of fact, when Paul went to preach there in the book of Acts, he almost left. He literally almost left. And Jesus appeared to him and said, speak, Paul. I got a lot of people in this city. But it was that bad of a place. It was just like Sodom and Gomorrah, I guess. Watch this now. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom? Follow all this list of sins right here. Be not deceived, neither be a fornicator, an idolater, an adulterer, effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind is a description of the homosexual lifestyle. That's what it is. Thieves, revelers, extortioners, drunkards, etc., shall inherit the kingdom of God. You see, that's a big list of... See how it gives you that list of sins? Are you still with me? Now notice what else it says in verse 11. Such were some of you. So when he's giving you this big list of sins, he's saying, Church of Corinth, some of you were these things. Before what? Before they were washed. Before they were saved. Notice what it says. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All God's people said. The Lord can help you with your sin problem. The Lord can help you with your sin problem. Once He saves you and He washes you clean, the Holy Spirit takes up abode in your heart, and He can help you with your sin problem. If you've been helped with your sin problem, I'm not saying that you're going to be without sin. As a matter of fact, the Bible says if you say you're without sin, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. That's what the book says. It really is. But when you're saved, you're going to be changed. There's going to be a change of conduct. There's going to be a desire to want to please the Lord. And it's also going to be something that when you do sin, it hurts you. I've had people get saved and they'll come into church and they'll come up, I've got to talk to you, Pastor, and the tears is rolling. And I said, what's the matter with you? They said, well, I sinned there yesterday and I just feel so horrible about it and I'm afraid I'm not saved. I said, don't you think them tears means you are saved? Because it didn't bother you before, it bothers you now. That's a sign that you're what? Changed. Old things pass away. You're not perfect, but you're going to be changed. You're going to be changed. Well, there's no sin, beloved. Would you agree that there's no sin worth hell? There's no sin worth hell. There's nothing worth that. I don't know of a sin out there that would be worth an eternity in hell for, and I'm sure you wouldn't either. I can't give up this sin. God can help you do that. Number 7. I hear this a lot from people, and they say, well, look, if there's a God, why is there so much sickness, and why is there so much sorrow and death in this old world? It's because of sin. God created it perfect. Who messed it up was who? Man's the one that messed it up, but he's provided a better kingdom to come. There's a better, hey, you ain't seen nothing yet, saints of God. The best is yet to come. We're going to be a part of a kingdom where there's no sickness, sorrow, pain, death, suffering. Like we sing in that song, all will be peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Think about it. No sickness, no sorrow, no death. I'm going to get a new body. Guess what? You're going to get a new body. A body that never sins, and a body that doesn't age, a body that'll never die, a body that'll last forever. All God's people said, a glorious thing, glorious thing. Think about how great of a body that'd be. That's all coming. This old world is being corrupted by sin. That's why people die. That's why people get sick. That's why the crime rates are so high, just filled with sin. But God has provided a better future for His people. All God's people said again, He's provided a better future for His people. And there one day is going to come, beloved, a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. I just sit around and think about it every now and again. I like to think about it. A new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And there won't be no graveyards there. Won't be no graveyards there. Because nobody will die. There'll be no hospitals there because nobody will get sick. And I really believe that with all my heart. And we're going to get a body like Jesus's, and we'll be completely 100% righteous, not only in standing, but also in body then. Because He's going to give us a new body. We'll get a new one. Y'all realize we're going to get a new one? I'm glad because mine's starting to get old. I mean, we're going to get a new one. We're going to get one that's not going to get sick ever or sick, but it's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. The Bible says when we see Him, we'll be like Him. So sickness, sorrow, and death, you can't blame that on God. You can blame that on men, though. That's why sin entered to start with. Last of all. Well, I saved when I was little. I saved when I was little. Well, you can be saved when you're little. Can't you? But I know a lot of people said they got saved when they're little, and now they're 55 or 60, and they ain't served the Lord in 50 years. They've never darkened His house. They don't read His book. They don't pray. They don't witness. They don't care. But they were saved when they were 6 or 5. Can people be saved that age? I think so. Whenever the Holy Spirit opens your hearts, when He saves you. But there's a lot of people that have made a profession when they was young and have never served God all their days, never wanted nothing to do with nothing that He's done, still live in the same sinful lifestyle that they've always lived in, and there is no change. You say, well, Pastor, what do you think that is? Look up here at me. Just exactly what James 2 says. I think it's a dead faith. A dead faith is not saving faith. A true living faith in Jesus Christ produces a change in a person's life and produces in them a desire to want to obey and follow and please the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, you're not saved by your works. I know. But what I'm telling you, if you take an old dead sinner and you put a new nature in him and you put the Holy Spirit in him, it's going to provide a change of conduct in your life. There'll be a change in your life. Things will be different. So I don't know. Those are 8 excuses that I gave you this morning in fast time and loud too and all this. Here's what they are. Got a lot of living to do. Christian life is living. It's too late. I've done too much. So many hypocrites. I'm going to postpone my decision. I'm afraid I can't stick to it. Have y'all heard these before? I can't give up this sin. Why so much sickness, sorrow, and death if God's good? And then number 8, saved when I was little. What's your excuse? I might have missed one. What's your excuse? You know, the bottom line is, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. You're accountable to the Lord. We're all sinners. Y'all agree? We've all sinned. The Bible says it. Romans 3:20, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. God provided His Son to pay that debt that we owed. Y'all with me? He provided His Son to pay that debt that we owed. And when you trust Jesus, He pays that price in full. All God's people say. I'm going to stand up front this morning, and maybe you'd like to talk to me. Maybe you're here today and you don't know whether you're saved or not. You need to make, the Bible says, you need to make your election and calling sure. And you need to do that today. And you need to know. You need to know, not think, hope, or wish. You need to know that you're ready to go up. And I hope today that you do. Let's all stand. Thank you.